In May 1963, more than 3,000 children took to the streets of Birmingham, Alabama, to protest segregation. Many of the children, some as young as nine, were charged by snarling dogs, knocked over by fire hoses, arrested, and jailed. Cynthia Levinson's book, We've Got a Job, uses the words and memories of a handful of the children who participated in what was called the Children's March to tell the story 50 years later. Cynthia Levinson recently was in Fayetteville to talk about her book. She says she was in high school in Columbus, Ohio in May 1963, but says she didn't know about the Children's March until years later.
What I didn't know until I started actually working on an article for a children's magazine about songs during the Civil Rights Parade, what I did not know was it was children who were the victims of those hoses and dogs. And as I say, not only was I a high school senior at the time, but then I went on to college and majored in American history. I took a seminar in Southern history. Then I taught American history to junior high school and high school students. And that entire time, I did not know that the march involved children.
So if you did not know, most of us did not know, how does something like this escape common knowledge?
You know, I actually looked into that fairly extensively because one of the things that surprised me doing research on the book, I interviewed many, many people. I was surprised that there are people in Birmingham today who are unaware that there were children in the march. And I talked with psychologists about this. There is such a degree of denial that I was stunned. I really could not comprehend. And what people told me was that we don't want to know that we allowed children to be treated this way. So in order to protect ourselves, not the children, in order to protect ourselves from the knowledge that children were so badly mistreated, we pretend that it didn't happen. Now, there aren't black people in Birmingham who aren't aware. Mm. They're very aware. And most white people in Birmingham are aware. But there remain some people who were active adults at the time in the early 1960s who maintain that this didn't happen. And somehow or other, the history books have not sufficiently picked up on it.
Cynthia Levinson's book is not the first to examine the young people's efforts in Birmingham. Diane McWhorter's Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Carry Me Home, includes accounts of the Children's March, as do other books, such as David Halberstam's The Children. But Cynthia Levinson wrote We've Got a Job for young readers, the modern-day contemporaries of those young marchers in 1963.
Based on my looking into it, I would say that the Children's March was really pivotal for the civil rights movement. For several years preceding the Children's March in May 1963, Dr. King's branch of the movement, SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, had not had many successes. The Montgomery bus boycott was 7 years earlier. Mm-hmm. That was successful, but it didn't have any carryover into other towns. It worked in Montgomery, but other towns nearby or in contiguous states, they weren't desegregating their bus systems. The Greensboro sit-ins had been 2 years earlier. And in the meantime, Dr. King really suffered some severe setbacks. So his leadership of the civil rights movement was to some extent on the rocks, and he was always searching for money. In fact, his search for money interfered to some extent with his involvement in the Children's March because he was torn. This was in April before he decided actually to go to jail, where from which he wrote Letter from Birmingham Jail. His involvement in the events in Birmingham were being compromised by his need also to raise money. He had to raise money to bail people out of jail in Birmingham and elsewhere. So once the Children's March became a success, that totally changed. It threw him up into a national spotlight from which he had been receding in the previous year or two. People poured money into the movement. It was directly a result of the Children's March that the March on Washington took place, and then President Kennedy's sending to Congress what became the Civil Rights Bill Act of 1964. So it was hugely, spectacularly successful. Nevertheless, it remained unknown, and it may be in part because there were children involved. And not only do we want to deny that there were children, but maybe we don't want to give credence to the efficacy of children.
Was it well covered? Was it on the front page of the New York Times? Was it on the nightly news?
It was to some extent on the nightly news. As I say, I was a high school senior then, and there were three television stations at the time, the three what were then major broadcasting stations. And I remember watching the news. I actually went back and looked at the newspapers, not only in Birmingham, of course, but also in the city where I grew up, Columbus, Ohio. I looked at the Columbus Citizen Journal and the Columbus Dispatch. There were two white-owned Birmingham newspapers at the time, and of course I looked at those, and there was a black-owned newspaper. Articles about the Children's March hit the front pages and became a part of the files that went out to the stations and newspapers around the country once the hoses and the dogs showed up. That was on the second day of the march. Dr. King and other members of the movement had spent the previous month in Birmingham and then months before that working up the strategy. None of their work in Birmingham beforehand, and they were working very hard. They were holding strikes or holding pickets. There were some marches, sit-ins. None of that made the newspapers. And the beginning of the Children's March did not make the paper. Once the hoses and dogs showed up, it did begin to turn up on the front page of the Birmingham, one of the Birmingham papers. It did not make the front page of the black-owned newspaper, which only came out once a week, I believe, but it wasn't because of the timing. It was because the editor of the black-owned newspaper in Birmingham opposed the marches. There were the black establishment, most of the ministers, many school teachers, many school administrators, and many ministers who were black were not in favor of direct confrontation, of direct action in the movement. Certainly the white newspapers were totally opposed to it. But after a time, they couldn't ignore what was happening in downtown. And that was especially the case when the kids, these thousands of black kids, began to move out of, in their marches, they began to move out of the black perimeter, the black downtown, into the white downtown. Then they couldn't ignore it anymore, and it started to show up in the newspapers. But one of the people I interviewed for the book was actually a white college classmate of mine who grew up in Birmingham. She was also a high school senior at the time. She knew nothing about what was happening in downtown Birmingham.
You mentioned how it was this sort of catalyst, this catapult to get financial and emotional support. There were so many things that could have gone wrong.
Yes.
So many things. Mm-hmm. And yet it turns out to be historic.
Yes.
It's quite amazing.
It is amazing. And Dr. King initially did not support children's involvement. He really tried to talk children out of participating in these marches because he was aware of the dangers. And many black people in the community who, even those who supported direct action, really did not want children involved because, of course, they could have been hurt, especially when the dogs and the hoses came out. And it's not that children were not hurt. One of the people that I interviewed in the book was James Stewart, was in jail for 3 or 4 days. He participated in a program that we did when the book came out in February of 2012 at the Birmingham Public Library. And when a young person in the audience asked him about his experience in jail, he started crying. His wife told me afterwards it was the first time she'd seen him cry. He had buried so deeply the horrible experiences in jail. And he described policemen reaching through the bars and shaking chains at the kids in order to get them to back up. The jail cell, James figured, was built to hold 75 or 80 people. He said there were 300 or 400 children, as well as Dr. King's brother, A.D. King, in the cell. They had to stand the whole time. They had to take turns lying down. They had to go to the bathroom in public there in the jail. The food was deplorable. that sat within him for 50 years. It's not that he wasn't hurt. He was pained. Fortunately, no one was badly physically injured. One of the women I talked with said that the hoses sheared the hair off of one side of her head. She was hurt. Another child was picked up by the water hoses and slammed into a car mirror and scratched. Worse things could easily have happened. Fortunately, they did not.
One of the benefits of the ages of people involved in the Children's March is that many of them are still alive.
Yes.
You know, 50 years later, these eyewitnesses to this movement. You focus on a few of them in the book. How did you choose who you would detail?
There are four people focused on in the book. Audrey Faye Hendricks, who was 9 years old, and she spent a week in jail. She thinks that she was the youngest marcher. James Stewart, whom I mentioned, who was a high school student, as were the other two, Arnetta Streeter and Washington Booker. The Birmingham Civil Rights Institute has wonderful archives of interviews, video interviews and audio interviews and transcriptions of many of those interviews with hundreds and hundreds of activists in the movement. I went through not all of them, but many, many, many of them. And I looked for a diverse group of people. I think we tend to think that a collectivity is going to have similar views. By reading the books that I mentioned, I learned that there were different perspectives. For instance, as I said, there were teachers and ministers who were opposed to children being involved, to direct action altogether. Well, these differences were reflected within the black community, the African-American community in Birmingham. And I wanted people who would give children reading the book access to these various perspectives. Audrey's family was, especially her mother, was very involved in the movement. She was Reverend Shuttlesworth's secretary for the organization that he founded, after the state banned the NAACP. So I knew that Audrey was a wonderful entree to talk about the history of the movement in Alabama. James Stewart was interesting because his family was upper-class black. His father was a board-certified obstetrician and internist. His mother was a college professor. James is very light-skinned, and so he gave entree to talk about a different group of people within the black community. Arnetta was terrific because her father was active in the movement, but he didn't want his children involved. And Arnetta became active early on, partly as a result of that. So she was a way for me to talk about early activism by some of the children in the movement. Washington Booker was great because Wash was a rebel. He was just a bad kid. He could not understand why the children were getting involved. He was petrified of the police for good reasons. And he tells some horrifying stories in the book about why he was scared of the police. And he helped start riots against the police. He was not nonviolent at all. So I chose those four because they have such different histories and such different perspectives on civil rights.
What do you hope that young readers today get out of this?
A couple of things. One is, basically, I hope that young readers today develop a sense of their own potential efficacy. I think young people often, although they don't act it, they often feel powerless, which is why they don't act powerless, because they're trying to take stands as they should. With organization and with cooperation, actually, they can have a huge effect. So that's definitely one aspect I would like young people to know, that they can make a difference as young people. Another factor is Arnetta was a member of a group called the Peace Ponies. Mm-hmm. The Peace Ponies was what they called a social and service club. She and her friends, although none of them by no means came from wealthy families, they saved their babysitting money and that sort of thing, and they would buy turkeys and hams for people, families even less well off than their own. And they also took on projects. Their project was to go to nonviolence training in Birmingham, to learn how to participate in the movement in nonviolent ways. The archivist at the Birmingham Public Library says that he hopes that there is an upsurge of organizations like the Peace Ponies in schools around the country. That would be a lovely thing.
There is the danger now that if you have children involved in any kind of movement, that it could be a PR backlash, that you're using them as pawns, that this isn't really an effective way to get a message across, that you can turn off people who you might be trying to convince. Mm-hmm. Was there a discussion about that at the time?
Absolutely there was. And in fact, there are still people in Birmingham today who fault the movement for having, quote, used, unquote, children. Yes, there definitely was that fear. Legitimately so.
You've talked to participants. Do they have the feeling, do they think about the effect they had in the civil rights successes that came during and after this march?
They do, and they have had recently. But for a long time, they didn't. In part, I think, because there were so many children, you said 3,000 to 4,000 of them who were involved. They just, everybody they knew was involved, so they didn't take any great credit for it. They understood that they were foot soldiers. They understood that they were numbers, and that what mattered was not any single person's actions, but the whole group of them. So as individuals at the time, they didn't think very much of it. They were just doing what they needed to do. They just needed to show up, get arrested, and go to jail. But over time, they did begin to perceive. Audrey Hendricks told me that when she saw, for instance, Condoleezza Rice, President Obama, she realized that she had a hand in helping those movements, those successes take place. And they are proud now, yes.
Cynthia Levinson's book about the Children's March in May 1963 is titled We've Got a Job. She was in Fayetteville last month.